good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. And everybody that's listening on YouTube this morning, we're absolutely buzzing in here this morning. We've had a fabulous time down at Ullate. We've had breakfast, and now we're all geared up to praise the Lord. I've just got to say this. The greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. We're going to be doing that in a minute. I didn't want to spoil your thunder, Suzanne, but I just had to do that. You'll know now why I'm not in the worship group, because my voice is not too brilliant, but God loves a crow as well as a nightingale, don't he? So, just so lovely to be here this morning. We remembered the darkest day in history, didn't we, on Friday, when we reflected on how the Lord Jesus was put to death in the cruelest way imaginable, laid to rest in a borrowed tomb. The dark day indeed, but good, because in the words of a song by Phil Wickham, Sunday is coming. And here it is, the sadness of the crucifixion, all gone, replaced by the joy of the resurrection. And we just want to praise the Lord, which I'm sure we're going to do in a big way this morning. I just want to say thank you to Jan. She'll be cross at me, but this church looks amazing. Oh, and, you know, it overwhelms me sometimes. There's so much love and talent in this place. Everything just fits together in the end. I know we sometimes have a few little blips, but generally speaking, we are really one in the Lord, and I just think that's lovely. Right, just a few business things. This afternoon, prospects are meeting down here at 3 o'clock. No ladies meeting tomorrow, but Tuesday the ARC playgroup at 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock. The prayer meeting down here at church at 11 on Wednesday, and the lunch club again on Thursday. Just a reminder that Barry's funeral is here at church on Friday. Just if you're not sure of the details, just come and ask one of us. And next Sunday, it's Messy Church. It is Messy Church. Yeah, it's Messy Church next Sunday. A bit different to what we normally do, but a lovely time to chat to people, bring friends, family, very hands-on kind of service with a lovely message at the end of it. So, over to you, Suzanne.
Hi, good morning. Yes. Today's the day that we remember big time, don't we, that Jesus rose again. Jesus died, Jesus rose, Jesus will come again. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we can come and remember all that you've done for us. We thank you that you did come as a baby, that you lived, you learnt, you moved amongst us, you died, you rose again, and we know that you will come again. We thank you. Our words are not enough really to express how grateful we are for your great love for us. But we do want to just tell you that we love you and we thank you. We thank you, awesome God, for all that you have done for us.
Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. Jesus has risen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, the others with them who told this to the disciples. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up
and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen laying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. So hard for us to really imagine that scene. But we know Jesus did rise and that Jesus is with us today. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you. We want to come before you and honour you. We want to just sit in your presence and feel you close. We thank you. We thank you that you planned all that happened, and you planned it because you wanted a relationship with us, that you wanted us to be able to come to you even though we are sinners. And Lord, we just pray and ask that you will forgive us for the things that we do and say that we shouldn't, for our wrong attitudes and for how we are sometimes. We just want to be more like you, Jesus. Please forgive us and help us to be like you. Lord, we do want you to reveal yourself to us. We do want to know you more. We do want to be able to really understand and appreciate all you've done for us, that it won't be just words, but that you'll write the reality and the depth of your immeasurable love and all you've done on our hearts. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, What are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all that this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over. So they went in to stay with them.
Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As we gather at this table, we celebrate life, the life of God in the world, made flesh and blood in Jesus, embodied in us. We come to remember the body that was broken, the hands that touched the untouchable and healed the hurting and did no violence, the feet that got dusty along city streets and at the lake shore, the arms that welcomed strangers and embraced the outcast, and legs that entered homes and synagogues and danced at celebrations, the eyes that blazed against injustice, knew how to cry and saw the potential in everyone. The belly that shared table with unexpected people and shook with laughter. The lips that wove stories and painted pictures of a new community and a better world. This blessed body that was broken and abused and rejected, we come to remember, for we are called to be the body of Christ. As you, risen Christ, remember our lives, so we remember you. And not only at this table, but in our life together, may we embody your kingdom and remember your life in the world. Let's pray together. Loving God, we give you thanks for this bread and cup, a timeless reminder of the flesh and blood life of Jesus, broken, rejected, yet unstoppable. In Christ, we see a life that could not be ended by death, a purpose that could not be silenced by the forces of violence, a desire deep within you for the transformation of the world. And as we eat and drink this cup, we thank you for the acceptance and tenderness with which you have transformed our shame into dignity and loved us into life. We thank you for cherishing the potential in us and for calling us to partner in your vision for this world. As we eat the bread and drink the cup, we call on your Spirit to come alongside us, so that together in the company of your Spirit, we may give ourselves afresh to the task of remembering you, of being the body of Christ, of living your life in this world. Amen. This broken bread we share is the body of Christ. It is a sign of all that we live and risk together as the community of Christ. A body that was broken for us. And this cup we drink together is the wine of the kingdom of God, the sign of God's undertaking for the life of the world. Let all who seek Christ take and drink. We're going to distribute the bread and wine now. And if you can hold on to your wine glasses, which is just juice. So, yeah. That's right, isn't it? Yeah, get that right. but if you can eat the bread when you receive it. Thank you. Let's drink together and remember. Let's pray. Father God, we have taken bread and wine into our bodies. Now may these hands be the hands of Christ in the world. May they do no violence. May these eyes see those who are overlooked. May these ears listen to those who are unheard. May these voices be raised for the voiceless, lest the songs of praise be empty. May these feet take us where Christ leads. And may these hearts and minds be open to your spirit. Christ has remembered us. May we remember Christ. Amen.
Morning. The reading is from the second letter to the Corinthians, which is on page 966 of your church Bibles, chapter 5, starting at verse 12. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who might live, who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen.
Thanks, Livy. Today is our last in the series of Journey to the Cross. And it's
titled it The Power of the Resurrection. Let's just pray a minute. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we can celebrate you rising from the dead. We thank you that you are here with us today. And we pray, Lord, that as we explore this scripture, that you will speak to us, that we will know a little more of you, of your love, and be closer to you. So just come now, we pray. And in these words, let there be something for us that we can take home and apply. In precious name, amen. Yeah, what an amazing day today is. We've thought about already, haven't we? Jesus' death on the cross. And that wasn't the end. But that by God's Spirit, Jesus rose from the dead and was seen and spent time with many people before ascending into heaven. To know that same Spirit lives within each of us who believe is a great truth to remember. Today reminds us, if we are in any doubt, that our amazing Heavenly Father loves and cares about us in so very much. More than we'll ever understand in this life. So I have entitled this message, The Power of the Resurrection, Renewed, Reconciled and Redeemed. We've already reflected on the joy and hope of Easter in the worship through communion. On Friday, Livy helped us reflect deeply on what Jesus' death was like. and on the walk afterwards, Jesus' crucifixion was remembered. And then earlier today, the sunrise celebrated that Jesus didn't stay dead, but rose again 3 days later. And Robert has already read some of those passages from Matthew. So Easter Sunday is not about chocolate eggs and rabbits, be they chocolate rabbits or real rabbits, but is a profound celebration of Jesus' resurrection, which is, of course, the cornerstone of our Christian faith. It is not simply the commemoration of an event that happened centuries ago, but it is the fulfillment of God's eternal promise, victory over sin and death, and the gift of eternal life for believers. Easter embodies joy, gratitude, and hope. It assures us of God's unchanging love and the ultimate triumph of his plan for redemption. So let us just reflect on why Jesus needed to come to this earth, why Jesus needed to die and rise again. Let's just spend a little time thinking about the bigger picture. And a good place to start is at the very beginning. Genesis 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. What an amazing beginning. I often look out the fields behind me in the early mornings and see the mist just hovering between the field and the sky and think of these verses. There's so much we can say from these verses and we haven't got time, but this foundational passage does far more than just affirm God's sovereignty and creative power. As you continue reading this well-known passage, we are reminded that humanity, we humans, were created in God's image. God made mankind to have a close relationship with him. That was his plan, his heart's desire, for all of us to be in a close relationship with him. But through sin, humanity fell short of God's holiness. Remember how Adam and Eve hid from God in the garden, how they were afraid, embarrassed, blaming one another. The beauty of God's amazing creation, marred now by sin, needed redemption to be brought back into a relationship with God. And Jesus' death was needed to restore humanity and creation's purpose to reflect God's glory. Then, as we continue through the Old Testament, we read of numerous prophecies about Jesus, the Messiah. God's plan was always to give us humans the chance of being in a relationship with him again. I think it's worth remembering some of these verses. In Genesis 3:15 speaks of the seed of the woman who will crush the serpent's head, symbolizing victory over sin and evil. In Isaiah 7:14 foretells the birth of Jesus, stating that a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son named Emmanuel, meaning God with us. In Micah 5:2, this prophecy identifies Bethlehem as the birthplace of the Messiah. Isaiah 53, known as the suffering servant passage, vividly describes the suffering and sacrifice of the Messiah for humanity's sins. I think we had Zechariah 9:9 the other week, predicting the Messiah's triumphant entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, symbolizing humility and peace. And we have Psalm 22, which contains striking details that align to the crucifixion of Jesus, including the piercing of hands and feet. We haven't got to where we are today by accident. God had a plan from the very beginning and has always had a great desire to have a relationship with us, his creation. The Apostle John starts his gospel with a powerful affirmation of Jesus's divinity, his vital role in creation, and his embodiment of God's love for all humanity, a love that seeks to restore and guide us into relationship with him. It's a beautiful reminder of the depth and intentionality of God's love. John 1, 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John introduces Jesus as the eternal Word, affirming his divinity, creating power and role as the source of life and light. These verses tie Jesus intrinsically to humanity's creation, purpose, and destiny. These passages, I think, shed light on God's nature and purpose and reveal to us why Jesus' sacrifice was so necessary for humanity's salvation. Jesus' life illuminates God's truth and grace, but humanity's sin disrupted this divine relationship. So Jesus, the eternal Word, had to bridge the gap through his incarnation, sacrifice, and resurrection. Jesus needed to die, and by doing so, restored humanity's, our relationship with God. Sin had created a barrier between us. Since God's nature is holy and just, sin must be atoned for. God made everything perfect. Mankind broke it, but Jesus fixed it. Jesus' death was the ultimate act of sacrificial love and justice. By taking our punishment upon himself, he fulfilled the requirements for justice. Isaiah 53:5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment had brought us peace. That brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus needed to die and rise again to defeat sin and death. Death, like we just said, had entered the world through Adam, but Jesus, the last Adam, conquered death through his resurrection. He broke sin's hold, offering eternal life to believers. Jesus needed to die and rise again to fulfill God's redemption plan. From the beginning, God promised redemption, and Jesus' sacrifice fulfilled centuries of prophecies, proving God's love and faithfulness to his creation. We who believe have such a deep hope through Jesus' resurrection, a hope that affirms victory over death, a hope that promises eternal life, and a hope that enables us as believers to live with boldness, joy, and purpose, knowing that God's immeasurable love and power are eternal. So if there's anyone here or listening who doesn't yet know this hope, who doesn't yet know Jesus as your friend, Lord, and Saviour, then please speak to one of us or email in, and we'd love to tell you more. So let's look at this morning's passage Livy read, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 11 to 21, in a little more detail, and bring out a few points. The power of the resurrection, renewed, reconciled, redeemed, renewed by the Spirit, reconciled through Christ, and redeemed for a purpose. So point number one, renewed by the Spirit. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Jesus' resurrection brings us renewal, not just for eternity, but for our lives today. We are made new in him, leaving behind guilt, shame, and the brokenness of our old self. The resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone of this transformation. His victory over sin and death isn't just a historical event, can be proven historically, but it's a personal reality that brings renewal to every believer. Let's look a little deeper how this renewal manifests. It gives us freedom from the past. What does the old represent? The old refers to our life of sin, of guilt, of shame, of separation from God. Before Christ, even if we didn't know it, we lived under the weight of condemnation and the brokenness of this world. But because Jesus bore the punishment for our sins and conquered death through his resurrection, we are no longer defined by our past mistakes. The chains of sin are broken. As believers, we are given a new identity in Christ. We become a new creation. When we trust in Jesus, our identity is no longer rooted in who we were, but in who he is. God sees us through the righteousness of Christ. This is a complete inward transformation, not just a superficial change. By living as a new creation, this renewal transforms our desires, our mindset, and our priorities. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a life that reflects Christ's love, holiness, and purpose. We have a hopeful future. Jesus' resurrection secures eternal life for all believers. This renewal assures us that even death has no hold over us because we share in Christ's victory. And right now, today, renewal doesn't just prepare us for the afterlife, it empowers us to live abundantly here and now. We experience peace, joy, and purpose as we walk in step with God, as we seek to know him more, to spend time with him. So what are some practical implications for our lives today? How does this renewal shape our everyday lives? We need to let go of guilt and shame, to really take on board and recognise that Jesus has already paid the price for mine, for your wrongdoings and attitudes. We need to leave things at the cross of Jesus and not continue to carry the burden of what has been forgiven. We need to embrace transformation, to allow God to reshape our thoughts, our attitudes, and our actions, to let him make us more like Jesus day by day. Let us make an effort to seek him and to live out his love in our relationships at work, at home, and in the wider community. Let us live in hope, even through the challenges of life, and remember that God's resurrection power is at work in us, Our present and future are held securely in him. And Easter is a powerful reminder that renewal is not a distant dream, but a present reality. As we celebrate Easter, let Jesus' resurrection inspire us to fully embrace the new creation we are in Christ. Let his victory breathe fresh hope, strength, and purpose into every aspect of our lives. Easter is a perfect time to step into the renewal God offers. And secondly, reconciled through Christ. Verse 18:19 said, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them." Reconciliation is the restoration of a broken relationship. In this context, it's about the mending of humanity's relationship with God, which was broken by sin. Sin created a chasm between God's holiness and us, and through Jesus' sacrifice and his resurrection, that separation has been removed. His death paid the penalty for sin, and his resurrection ensures the victory over it, making reconciliation possible. Reconciliation is God's initiative. It's entirely God's work. It's not something that humanity could achieve on its own. The scripture emphasizes that God, out of his love, reached out to us through Christ. It is a divine act of grace, not based on our merits. And the role of Jesus, it's a massive role, isn't it? God used Jesus to bridge the gap between humanity and himself. He took our sins so that we might receive his gift of righteousness. The resurrection seals this promise, proving that sin and death have been conquered and that we are welcomed back into God's presence. So the fruits of reconciliation: forgiveness of sins. God no longer counts our sins against us. Relationship is restored. Through reconciliation, we are adopted into God's family and we can approach him as beloved children. And peace: we no longer need to live in fear of judgment. Reconciliation brings inner peace and joy. Easter is the ultimate celebration of reconciliation. It's a time to marvel at God's love and sacrifice. So if we apply this to our lives personally and as a community of believers, let's just reflect a minute on our own relationship with God. Have you accepted his offer of reconciliation? Easter also calls us to extend reconciliation to others, as we're called to be ambassadors of Christ in verse 20. I wonder if there's anyone in your life that you might need to forgive or to be reconciled with. And more widely, we should share this good news. Our ministry of reconciliation involves spreading the message that God desires everybody to be reconciled to him through Christ. Reconciliation isn't just a past event to be thankful for, it's a present reality and a future hope. So this Easter, let's embrace the gift of reconciliation and live as evidence of God's grace. Then, redeemed for a purpose. We have been redeemed for a purpose. We are ambassadors of Christ. The resurrection not only brings personal salvation, but a commission for us for greater mission. Being an ambassador of Christ is a responsibility that stems directly from the transformation we've experienced through his death and resurrection. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. This verse vividly describes our purpose as believers. We represent Christ on earth, tasked with communicating his great message of reconciliation and grace. God works through us to invite others into his kingdom, if we let him. And Jesus' resurrection is what makes this passage so, so powerful. Death is defeated, sin is conquered, and new life is available for all. There's a privilege of representation. As Christ's ambassadors, we carry the privilege of representing the King of Kings. Just as an earthly ambassador speaks on behalf of their nation, we speak and act on behalf of Christ, sharing the good news of his gospel. Obviously, Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. We have the power of the resurrection in our mission. The resurrection empowers us to fulfill our roles with boldness and assurance, because Jesus conquered sin and death, and we can confidently share this victorious message with the world. His power works through us as we proclaim the gospel. In Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we have a responsibility of ambassadorship. Being an ambassador comes with responsibility. It calls us to live in a way that reflects Christ's character and to actively share his message of hope and reconciliation. Because there's an eternal impact of our purposes. Our ambassadorship has eternal consequences. We're not just sharing good advice or moral guidance. We're inviting people into a life-changing and eternal relationship with God. And I think it's worth that we remember that. So this Easter, let us commit to being active messengers of hope. Let us share the joy of reconciliation and renewal with our family, friends, community. Let us celebrate the resurrection. Let this Easter reignite our passion for God's mission, and may Jesus' resurrection really give our lives purpose. Let us be determined to share the good news about Jesus. I wonder, do you have the opportunity this Easter to share your testimony and invite others to experience God's grace? We should live as light. We should demonstrate Christ's love in our actions, showing the transformation or transformative power of the resurrection through our daily lives. Jesus' resurrection is not just about what we've been saved from, it's about what we've been saved for. As ambassadors of Christ, we carry the most hopeful, life-giving message the world has ever known. Easter reminds us that we are redeemed, renewed, and sent out to make his appeal to others. Let us embrace this calling with joy and conviction, proclaiming the victory of Christ to all. So in conclusion, Easter reminds us of the transformative power of Christ's resurrection. Through renewal, reconciliation, and redemption, God invites us to step into abundant life. So let us celebrate that we have been reconciled to him, made new by his Spirit, and called to his purpose. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you once again for all your many blessings, and especially today we thank you that Jesus came to this world and died so that we could have a relationship with you. Help us to recognize all of the blessings that you have given us and to share them with others. Help us to love and care for others as you have loved and cared for us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful ambassadors for you and live lives that are honouring to you. Please strengthen and protect us and give us a desire to know and serve you more. In your precious name we ask this. Amen.
Let's just close by saying the blessing, the grace.
Grace to our Lord Jesus Christ, and love.